So last week, I told you, and for a couple of weeks, I told you that we were going to be starting a new series. And in the Lord's Prayer, we found the title for our series. It's called Kingdom Come. I don't know if you know who the King is in that Kingdom Come, and that Lord that has given us the Lord's Prayer, it's Jesus. And it can be kind of dark in this world, and we live in a world that's really just been a mess. And so when we say kingdom come, we're talking about Jesus coming. And yet he came already. We've wanted so much to talk about so many different things, especially with how really, really, really broken our world seems to be and how really quickly we find out about it if we look in the mirror or if we get on social media or hear people talking about it. I wanted to tell you that we started a series in January going through the entire book that's actually 66 books. And we looked at 16 different passages that would say we're rooted and it points us to Jesus. I want to remind you that Jesus was not unaware that the Bible was all about him. Would you join me in John 5? We'll go 39 and 40. Jesus is talking to Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and law experts. And he says this to them, John 5, 39 and 40. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. He's saying unashamedly that the Bible is about him. One continuing story about Jesus, about the goodness, the grace, the holiness, the power. And if you go to Luke 24, 27, the end of this, Jesus has risen from the dead. Now he's walking with these guys who are really mopey about the fact that Jesus died. And he's effectively, you guys, he kind of pretends like he doesn't know what's going on. He says, well, what's happening? And they're like, are you new? What do you mean it's happening? Jesus died, and now this is the third day, and he said he was going to rise, and then Jesus walks with them. And he teaches them, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, so beginning with the Old Testament as we understand it, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So might I just say, in a very quick summary of all of what we've done up to this point, Jesus. Jesus. This is what, and who we've been talking about. This is who we've been coming to. When we say kingdom come, this is what it's about. And so when I say prophecy, there might be a number of things that come to your mind. A number of great teachers and resources. And there's some really good ones out there, and there's some really jacked up ones. I'm going to read for you from a website called gotquestions.org. And I'm totally willing for you to come up and tell me how that's great or lame. We can have a wonderful discussion about that. But this is what they say, and with time being what it is, I'm not going to try to be anything other than read it verbatim. To prophesy is simply to speak prophecy. Prophecy is the noun, and prophesy is the verb. Prophecy, at its most basic definition, is a message from God. So to prophesy is to claim a message from God, or proclaim a message from God, depending on who you are. The one who does this is therefore a prophet. Although foretelling is often associated with prophecy, revealing the future is not a necessary element of prophecy. However, since only God knows the future, any authoritative word about the future must of necessity be a prophecy. That is, a message from God. According to Deuteronomy 13, there's two signs of a true prophet. First, he or she must not direct people to follow other gods. Seems like a pretty simple one. And yet many, many prophets proclaim a God other than Jesus. Second, whenever the prophet says something about future events, those events must come to pass. If the prophet promotes the worship of false gods, or if his predictions fail to come to pass, then he's a false prophet. Seems rather simple, probably a little too simple for many of you amazing, wonderful-brained individuals. But I'm just going to keep it like that. I'm going to also read for you something that Pastor John wrote. In 2022, we've set out to be rooted in God's word, allowing it to shape and inform how we see the world rather than having the world shape and form how we see God's word. For much of the Bible, we're able to do this with the benefit of hindsight, with the knowledge that much of what is written has already happened. But not everything. We live in the tension of already and not yet. Because while much has already happened, much also has not yet occurred, leaving us in an in-between place filled with doubt and uncertainty. For the next 8 weeks and probably about 20 minutes today, we're going to explore biblical prophecies, some fulfilled and some not yet fulfilled. That will give us certainty regarding our future. Because the one who holds the future in his hands has proven to be faithful and trustworthy, allowing us to declare your kingdom come with hope, anticipation, and confidence. Already and not yet. That's where we're living. Jesus is already perfect, and we're already perfectly loved and held and forgiven and set free. If we're his people. And not yet are we living a perfect life. You guys remember the parable at all that Jesus told about a man that had planted wheat. And he wakes up. And I don't know, this is kind of a funky parable and the story is what it is. But everything's grown up. But in the midst of all of what's grown up, there's also weeds. And they're like, should we just uproot all of it? No, knucklehead. You do that, and you're going to wreck the wheat. Let it grow up, and at harvest time, when the harvesting farmer says it's time, we'll take it all, and we'll separate it. Already? Not yet. You've got God's kingdom, his rule and his reign that's happening in his people right now. And yet, we've got some of our old life that seems to just hang on. We've got death. We've got smoke and fire, and we've got earthquakes, and we've got wars, and we've got all that. And yet, we've got a peace that passes understanding. It's an already not yet world that we live in. It's a season of overlap right now. One day, at the harvest, everything gets separated. Right now, we're not at that day, but it's coming. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker? I'm not perfect, but I'm perfectly loved. Anybody? No? I'm going to make one. I'm just kidding. I've seen it. And then there's all the perfectly loved, or I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. There's all these different ways to say the same thing. This is an already not yet reality. You're not perfect yet, but in Jesus, you're perfectly loved. You're set free. His kingdom hasn't come and ruled all over everything here, but he is the ruler of everything, and he lives in his people. So with all of that, I want to have you and I ask a question about prophecy as we get into it. Is it from God or is it from man? And I can tell you, because God is so gracious, that we can tell what's from him by checking what's in here. There's been a number of movements that have said they've got a new, fresh anointing from God, a spiritual impartation that will change the world. And it will if it's from here. If it's made up by them, it's going to fail miserably. So here we go. 2 Peter, we just went 8 weeks through 1 Peter, and so 2 Peter is the second letter to all these people dispersed all over the place that are Christ followers. But 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21 says it like this, and it helps us to understand, is it from God or is it from man? We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter was literally right there. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." That's my God voice there. So, I mean, honestly, I don't think for a second that he sounds like Mike Tyson. I couldn't see it happen. "This is my beloved Son." I don't think that's God's voice. But whatever it was, everybody heard it and they knew it. Sorry, now we're awake. All right. God broke protocol 2 different times with his Son and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This time, Peter saw it, and he's talking about this. I was his eyewitness. I've seen it. God showed off. "We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed." Like in his first book, Peter's saying, look, there was people way back that had the Holy Spirit inside of them, and they were giving prophetic words pointing to this, and we saw it. We've experienced it. And it's been more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Friends, I will say this one more time. Lots of resources out there. Let it be people who are teaching the Bible, because the Bible is the lamp. Jesus is the lamp. The Word of God is the lamp, shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, any of us who teach at Crosswater don't want to just give our interpretation. We want to talk about God's word. We're going to share what we think and what we understand. But as I stand here with you, as you and I are in life together, we're figuring it out according to what he said and what he gives to us. And I'm not the only speaker. As you sit there, all of you have something to say. In an effort to keep things, at least in this little 45-minute window that we have together on Sunday mornings, we're not going to all speak, but we have small groups, we have opportunities, and there's opportunities in this room often on Sunday. I'll say, "What do you guys think?" And I want us to talk about it, but it's got to be from God. It says, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He's still carrying along people. He's still proclaiming things, and none of it will be different from what's in here. Anybody tells you something that isn't in here, they're off. If I tell you something that's not in here, I'm off. Doesn't mean I hate Jesus, doesn't mean I hate you. It means you need to help correct me. I'd love it to be gentle, but that's just because I'm soft. But you can come to me. You should. If you don't, then it's kind of on you. But not just opinion. It's got to be God's word, right? So with that, I want to unpack something in a short amount of time called the perfect kingdom. See, what we're going to do with the prophecies is we're going to start with some that have not yet been fulfilled. All the way back into December and then on Christmas of the greatest one that we know has been fulfilled already, and that's that God came. See, he's already fulfilled so many, but not yet, some of them. So we're going to look at the not yet and get into the already's, including some of the stuff that happened before Jesus was born. So with that, you might have guessed, we're going to go to Revelation. We sang about it right in the very beginning. We're going to Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Man, I need some good news today. Does anybody need good news today? Has anybody heard any yet today? Have you sung any yet today? Sweet. Can we get a little more? Maybe a little bit more of what we've already heard in a, maybe a little bit of a different way? Whether you say yes or no, I'm going. So here we go. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I don't have time to unpack all this, but we talked about this not too long ago. It's new to John, and it's new to us. It's new to humanity, but it's not new to God. It's like, this is how it was supposed to be. And so, it's new to us. The old way of things passed away. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Woo, yes. You ever felt close to God? This won't be a feeling. This will be your reality. Dwelling place. He's with us the way it was supposed to be. Oh, gosh. I've got so many lyrics running through my head right now. They're spiritual. Look it. He's going to make things the way they're supposed to be because he took Christ's holiness and made clothes for me. This is what he does for us. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. If you're a Christian, you're getting a head start on that today. Good news. It'll be way better then, but you're already there now. And don't leave his word out. He wants to show himself to us. Now he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, bring it. And death shall be no more. Bring that. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Jesus, thank you so much that you wrote it down for us, had it written down for us. And so I'm going to go to just the next chapter really quick. Revelation 22, last chapter in our Bible. We'll go 1 through 5. Talk about rooted. Listen to this. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, brightest crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Do you remember who the Lamb is? Oh, we're in church. We can say it. It's Jesus. And so this life is sourced in. Oh, come on, church. I appreciate you, Darcy. If I had candy, I'd throw you a little piece. Okay, check it out. I'm just going to ask you really quick. Where is life sourced? Jesus. Yes, and you can say God, same guy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three different people, one God, triune God. That sounds weird. It is. Okay, here we go. It's glorious too. So this is God, the Lamb, this river flowing through the middle of the street like a median. Also, on either side of this river is the tree of life, which was taken out of the original garden so we wouldn't be separated forever. Go back to the beginning of the year when we were in Genesis, if you'd like to talk about that. But he puts it back, and he doesn't just put it back, it's on both sides. So is there two trees of life? It says either side of the river. I'm not a math guy, but it sounds like maybe, because there's two sides. It sounds to me like he's not trying to hold out on anybody that are his people. And so it's got 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. He loves everybody and wants everybody to be healed. Not everybody will, but we're not in charge of that. Let's just keep telling the nations, not because we're America, but because we're Christians. No longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. Friends, again, we get to practice that right now. Worshiping him now as his servants right now. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. Ben, I could not get over thinking about, I don't know if you guys still do it, but putting kids' names on duct tape on their helmets. Or not even duct tape, it's probably more medical tape because we want to keep the paint job, right? Like, we would do that as coaches because we're trying to remember their names. That's not the name on our foreheads when we get to heaven. It's not our name. Come on, friends. Woo! Nice. Three of us are here. Let's go. Jesus. God looks at us and sees his son. And night will be no more. They'll need no light of the lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Look, my dear friend and brother in Christ, John Merwin, was being honest about how lame the rain is now, and he wants the sun. But one thing I know about Pastor John is he wants Jesus more than he even wants sun, and boy, does he want the sun. Okay, anyway. We prayed for rain. We got it. Look, man, we're like this. I'm so tired of the smoke. We just need rain. Not that much. Come on, man. That was my white voice. I'm sorry. Okay. You are white. Okay. What's up for opinion. All right, here we go. All good all the time is what we just read. This is what we would call the perfect kingdom. So your kingdom come, perfect kingdom. If we're getting started right now, we perfectly obey him. Oh, but I don't know how to perfectly do that. He lovingly refines us on the not yet side of things, because he's already perfect and he's refining us and he'll keep calling us. And so how in the world do we live right now? The rest of Revelation 22. And I'll have to breeze. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. Second time we've already heard that this morning from Revelation. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets. Okay. How do we know it's from God? If a prophecy is from God, how do we know? It's in his word. We can confirm it in his word. Any fresh impartation, any new revelation is going to be confirmed here. So it's really not fresh or new. It just might be fresh or new to us, but it's not to God, and he unpacks it. So the God of the spirits of the prophets has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. You and I live in an already not yet tension, and so we're like, soon? Boy, you cannot accuse God of being early on this one. You're not in charge of the time. God's outside of the time. We found out again, and I read it a little while ago in 2 Peter, He's not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness to be, but he's not wanting anyone to perish. Why hasn't he come back and fixed it yet? He wants more people to come with him. So let's bring it. And behold, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But the angel said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Come on, two words, friends. If you heard nothing yet, which I don't know how, because boy, I'm blabbing it tough, but here you go. Worship God. Don't worship money. Don't worship technology. Don't worship people. Don't worship the weather.
Oh, Texas is so nicer.
Good luck. Anyway, so worship God. Worship God. This is what the angel says. Like, John's like, oh my goodness, I saw all this and I saw Jesus. And so I'm going to fall down and worship you. The guy who saw all of this got confused. The angel's like, eyes off me. Eyes on him. Good word for us today. And he said to me, don't seal up the words of this prophecy. We're going to talk about Daniel on the 18th of December. He was told to seal it up for a while. This is no seal. Don't keep it to yourself. This book is for the time that is near. And then listen to this, just so crazy, right in the middle of all this. Let the evildoer still do evil. So this is for us now. If people are going to do evil, they're going to do evil. And the filthy will still be filthy. There's free will. If you're stuck in thinking, oh gosh, I just do evil and I'm just filthy, repent. Friend, come to the King. Racism, gone. Let it go. Hate, the filthiness of sexual immorality, lying and stealing, taking from your jobs because you spend so much time online. Oh, it's part of my job. Really? You're supposed to shop on Amazon for your job? Why was it that you were buying stuff for you? Friends, evil will still do evil. Filthy will still do filthy. And the righteous will still do right, and the holy will still be holy. He who started a good work in us is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, which is what we're talking about. When he comes back, every knee has to bow, every tongue has to confess. Today, Christians, we get to. If you're not a Christian, submit to Jesus Christ right here, right now. Good news, because all this is going to come true. He's proven it over and over again. And I know that that's more of what we're going to be talking about in like the end of November, but I mean, either take me at my word or more importantly, take God at his word. He does what he says he's going to do. Behold, Jesus says, yet again, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense, my payment with me to repay each one for what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That's the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the A to Z. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. This is a reference back to the robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's how we get freed up, cleaned up. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. If you found yourself in that list, then we need to repent. Look, Lord, that's not what I want. I'm not going to be apart from you. If you're in Jesus Christ, that's not the final word on you. If you're apart from him, that's where you're going to be outside. You'll get what you want to be the king of your life. When we say kingdom come, we're talking about King Jesus. Now, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I'm the root and the descendant of David. More on that in a few weeks. I'm the bright morning star. If I can just geek out with you for a second. Morning star. There was one that was the morning star named Lucifer. And he thought he could be God. And he got kicked out of heaven and he took a third of the angels with him. That's also in this book. And his name got changed from Lucifer to Satan, the accuser. Jesus is the only morning star. Only Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take from the water of life without price. How do you get this water of life? You receive it from Jesus. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things, this is Jesus who testifies, surely I'm coming soon. If you're keeping track, he's said it four times now in the last two chapters that we read. Well, just how soon? I'll just go check out other people who are smarter. Hey, look, every generation, ours included, is like, he's coming. And he has not yet physically came back. So follow Jesus and tell your friends, because Jesus is coming soon. And then, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with us all. Amen. Okay. Here we go. I have a question for you. Are you going to be on the welcoming committee or are you going to be on the planning committee? One of my favorite teachers has passed away and he's with Jesus now. His name, Warren Wiersbe. When he was a young preacher, super brilliant man, he decided to unpack all these prophecies and really start to name all of what's going to happen and see how this has happened and this is when Jesus is probably coming back. And an older man came up and he says to him, wow, brother, you sound like you're on the planning committee. And he goes, well, what do you mean? Well, you've got it all figured out. You just laid it all out. And this is an older man and he goes, well, what am I supposed to do? He's like, I was just like that and I lived that way for a long time. He goes, now I'm on the welcoming committee. I'm just super excited to have him come back, and I'm telling everybody about it because he's coming back. I want to welcome him, and I live like I'm going to welcome him. So I ask you this morning, church, do you want to plan about it and think about it? For some of us, it's to see how far we can get to the edge without falling off. Repent of that. For many of us, it's to look good and sound smart, and for some of us in that, we're trying to warn people. You can warn people because all these things are happening that God says are going to happen. But what we're trying to focus on right here, right now, for these 8 weeks, is the kingdom come, the perfection that started in this overlapping already not yet that we're experiencing. We are his kingdom people. We get to live like his kingdom people. We get to repent when we are giving in to what's nasty and wrong. And we point people to what's righteous and holy. His name is Jesus. We have a bunch of questions for you. Love for you to take them. Go through them with people. We have a group that meets here on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock in the cafe. You can come and talk with them. Jesus loves you so much. If you're available on Friday the 11th, we are going to have a service for Veterans Day. And I would love to have you join us. It'll be at the little, what do they call that park, David? Yeah, right there, right? Okay, and it'll be at 11 o'clock. Love to have you join us, thanking God for what he's done in and through people in this world. Jesus, today's your day. I rejoice in that fact. I thank you for bringing clover into this world and into your kingdom. I ask, God, that for all of us, we would fix our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. I thank you so much for paying for us. We love you and we praise you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.